This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 16th of July. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my absolutely lovely co-host, Ms. On a Bike.
Thank you.
Hello, bird.
You're hey, right.
Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, I'm right. You?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about it?
I don't want to talk about it.
Do you want a hug?
I need more than a hug, love. I'll tell you what.
I always like it when you start off as, yeah, on love. You know it's going to go really into it.
Yeah. No, I've had a week and a half from hell. It's not been good.
How do you recover?
Sorry?
How do you recover from it?
It's like anything, you know. I mean, when you get to my age, you get used to all these setbacks and you know that things eventually work themselves out, but we're just kind of getting through it.
Nice.
Yeah. My washing machine's blown up. I need you to wash my pants and vests for me.
On a scrubbing board. Do you remember those? Do you remember them with the mangled stream thing?
Yeah. Take them. Well, I thought with you living down by the seaside, you could take them down on the beach with a rock or whatever.
What, where I live now or where I lived then?
Where you lived then, yeah.
Yeah. We used to have a backyard. We actually had an outdoor toilet. Yeah. And we had the mangle that you...
Yeah, I'm young. Yeah, I remember my nan having a mangle. Yeah.
I am young, Nettie. Don't look at me like that.
I wasn't.
I really wasn't.
Yeah. No, I believe you're really young.
Yeah.
I think you're about as young as me.
I am as young as you. Therefore, we are twins, love.
We are both young.
And we're listening to Nettie, the lovely Nettie Bunn from Rift Accounting, whose birthday it was last week. But we were trying to come to some kind of arrangement over what birthday it was. We were working it out based on averages, I think.
Yeah, we both know, but what we, you know, decide to share is completely different, isn't it?
Absolutely. Did you do anything special, Nessie?
Do you know what? I have the day off because I don't work on my birthday anymore. I haven't done for years.
I thought it was the other way around.
No, it's a national holiday.
I thought you only worked on your birthday.
And I went to London, actually, and saw Waitress.
Saw the Queen?
No, she was busy. Oh, okay. I think she's gone to Scotland at the moment. I'll catch up with her in the autumn. But I went to see Waitress, the show.
Right.
Which is absolutely hilarious, really funny, and yet amazing. It's an American production, and it's getting so few people seeing it in London, despite the fact it was full, actually, on my birthday. But their thing was shortening the run, I've heard, and it's one of the funniest plays I've seen in years. So I think all of you lot should go and see it. Get them to stay.
It's interesting, isn't it? It depends on how these things get hyped.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of stuff gets hyped, and you go and see it, and you think, well, that's rubbish.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then other stuff doesn't get quite so hyped. I mean,
it was absolutely amazing. Yeah. Really talented cast. Yeah. And I met my adorable little boy up there. My birthday treat, you know, where it's my birthday, I pay for his train ticket to come and meet me, and then I take him to the theatre and lunch. You know how it works.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got one of those, and you have.
I've got two of those, don't you worry. Yeah,
that's life, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, so I've decided that my 40s are going okay. How about you, Bird?
I'm living the life.
Living the life, yeah.
Talking about kids and birthdays, though, did I tell you about my youngest last year for my birthday? Well, it wasn't last year, it was the year before. He was still a student then. And he emailed me with a photograph that he'd taken in Smith's of a card and a photograph of a stamp. And he said, if I wasn't an impoverished student, this is the card I would have bought you and this is the stamp I would have put on the envelope. But as I can't afford it, I didn't.
Well, do you know what I got from my daughter, who is, you know, older, working, the rest of it? Yeah. She gave me a handmade card. Which was very sweet.
Crayons. Because,
yeah, it really was pathetic. And inside it was the delivery note from the post office that said, sorry, you were out. And so I believe she'd ordered me something, but she wasn't there when it arrived. So she managed...
So she sent it back.
So I have
the delivery note inside the homemade card. Yeah, you can't make it up. I blame the parents.
Absolutely. Cool. Hey, listen, anyway, welcome to another Business Bunker show. We've got a packed show, as you can hear. We've got lots of guests here, and we're going to have loads of fun for the next couple of hours talking about business and other stuff. I want to say a big thank you to this week's show sponsor, who are the lovely folks at MyZones. MyZones is a new, soon-to-be-launched website for businesses to advertise, promote, and sell their products and services whilst also making a bit of money advertising, selling and promoting other people's services. So anyway, the easiest thing is to check it out, MyZones, MIZONES.co.uk. Check it out, have a look. And a big thank you to them for sponsoring this week's show. We'd love to hear from you, the businesses out there in the southeast of England, and you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You could try doing what Bird tried doing last week, and I completely ignored her, which is ringing
didn't,
me.
To be fair, to be, and I wanted to give you a bit of a break from that.
Yeah.
I was going to ring in because I thought, oh, listen to Business Bunker, see if it works in Rwanda.
Yeah.
It does, by the way.
You listen to it in Rwanda?
I listened to it in Rwanda and I thought, right, I'll. And then I was listening to the show and I thought, I'll ring in. That'll be really funny. And then I said to Stephen, isn't this awful? I sit in on the show every week.
No idea what the number was.
Couldn't remember what the number was. So the silly sausage that I am thought, oh, no, I'll ask the WhatsApp group, forgetting that Paul Andrews is on the WhatsApp group. And then he's gone, there's this. And I'm like, oh, he knows I'm going to ring in now. And then I thought, no, you know, I'm not here. You don't want to, you know, let the show naturally fall underway. So I wasn't going to. And then I was listening to the end of the show and it was like, well, Bird said she was going to ring. And I was like, right, I'll ring in now, you know, because that would be funny. Yeah. But I know what the end of the show's like. It's just madness producing. Yeah. So, no, it wasn't you. And you were very gentlemanly and was like, oh, Bird, I'm so sorry. I was like, no, my goodness. So, no, it was just one of those things that it would have been funny.
It would have been great to have had a phone call from Rwanda, though. That would just have been brilliant, yeah.
And to just listen to it was very interesting. Do you know what I mean? To actually be the end user of it because we're here all the time doing it. So, it was
absolutely
great.
Anyway, you can call me, whether you're in Rwanda or not.
What's the number?
And
the Who knows?
And Bird knows the number. The number is Bird.
It's 01233 22 0035.
Yeah, she's right. She's only right. She's only right, you know.
She's only gone and done it.
She's only gone and done it. It's Ashford, 01233 22 0035. Well done, Bird. Absolutely fantastic. But if you don't want to call me, you can email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and to use the hashtag BBunker. Please use the hashtag. Otherwise, we won't find you amongst the 9,873,746,003 tweets we have had so far. And I have just counted them.
I love it.
It's down a bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Down?
It's down a bit. It's down a bit on last week. Yeah, we nearly hit 4 trillion last week. Yeah.
It's on back. That's what it is.
Yeah, Bird's back. Because she was in Rwanda. She was firing in tweets like every 10 seconds.
I forgot to tweet, actually.
You didn't tweet, did you? I was expecting a GIF.
Yeah.
I was expecting an...
I'm not good at them.
I know, but I was expecting an African-related GIF. That's what I
was
expecting.
I don't know what to do with it all. I need Amanda to, like, because she's the queen of it, isn't she?
Yeah.
How people do it with the speed they do it is beyond me. I'm like, look, I'm writing my book. Stop annoying me. Uh-huh. That's it. So, yeah, very funny.
Cool. Do you want to start off with something? I don't mind. It can be an email or a tweet.
I'm going email.
Go email. I would.
Are you working in a creative field or the creative industry? Then this informal meetup is a must for you. So pop in, meet like-minded people, share knowledge and experience and learn how to get more from your creativity and what help is available to you. So this is for August the 1st. My goodness, it's so close. And this is Stag Coffee in Ashford and it costs £5. So this is on Eventbrite and this is from a chap called Doug Harmon. So this is all about creativity. Mm-hmm. Are you in the creative industry marketplace?
Doug's a really interesting guy, actually. He's a photographer, but he used to write the digital photography column for The Guardian. And he's based in Ashford.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Really interesting. So a creative meetup in Ashford. That'll be cool. At the Stag.
Yeah.
Nice one. Good. What shall I do? I'll do an email, I think. No, I won't. I'm going to do a tweet. We've had a tweet from Diamond Circle Weddings, and they say, hello, Business Bunker, Bird on a Bike, Vanilla Web. Really looking forward to hearing from your guests today, and Nettie, Kenny and Julie. We would love a shout-out, please. We are exhibiting on the 22nd of September at the Grand Hotel Wedding Fair. Grand RR. That's Is that the...
Well, the Grand's in Folkestone, isn't
that's
it?
That's it, yeah, it's in Folkestone. The Grand RR, which is Grand Hotel Folkestone, and there's a wedding fair on the 22nd of September. So pop along and say hello to Paul and Polly, who are Diamond Circle Weddings.
Cool. So we've got a load of tweets coming in. So we've got our usual loves, which are Ethelbray Limited, and they've said a shout-out, please. Success at the National Family Business Awards on Saturday with Silver Award for Professional Services. Huge thanks to trainers and suppliers for their support. Their new ops manager started yesterday, so Next Generation is up and running. So well done, Ethelbray. We love you. You're great supporters of us, and we of you.
And congratulations on your award.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
and
really
very
good.
Well deserved. Yeah, very well deserved.
And what then done? We've got my usual one.
Go on.
I haven't heard from him for a little while.
Which one? You got two that I've seen today.
What, just to me?
Yeah, yeah.
They're not even talking to you now.
Well, they do mention me further on, but they're both addressed to you, I say. Anyway, go with Mitch's, because it will be mortified if you don't.
Hello, Burden and Bike.
Yeah.
Can we have a Business Bunker shout-out, please? Buy, sell your car locally on carsfromkent.com. Yes, you can, Mitch. There you go.
Fantastic.
Well, where was it? It wasn't here. I haven't said him for ages now.
No, well, I think he's back in the Middle East, to be honest.
Is he?
Yeah, so he's probably tweeting from Dubai.
Excellent.
Yeah. Productivity gap in the southeast. This is a report from the Federation of Small Business, by the way. The productivity gap in the southeast is set to persist as 8 in 10 small firms hold back on investment. Small firms are struggling to expand. They're struggling to hire, aren't they so, and raise productivity as political uncertainty. You evil, evil idiots. Not I'm...
Did you just say that?
Yeah.
Oh, God, you must have had a terrible week.
Politicians are...
You actually said it.
Politicians are killing me at the moment. What's the matter with them all? They're all useless, a lot of them. Lock, stock and barrel. Small firms are struggling to expand, hire and raise productivity as political uncertainty leaves them increasingly hamstrung. According to the full SBI Quarter 2 2019 report from the Federation of Small Business, which was released last week, a considerable majority, 80% of small firms in the southeast, are not planning to increase capital investment in their businesses over the coming quarter. The region's figure is higher than the number in the UK as a whole, which is just 72%, which is at its highest since quarter two 2017. According to the Office of National Statistics, business investment fell for 4 straight quarters last year for the first time since 2008 financial crash. Elsewhere, a third of small firms in the region say accessing appropriately skilled staff is now their major barrier to growth. In the UK, this number overall is 35% nationally. The net balance of small businesses that are increasing headcounts, the proportion of those hiring new staff, less the proportion reducing their team size, stands at a 3-year low of minus 2%.
Oh, can we discuss some of this?
Yeah.
What do you think, though?
Well, you know that I know, because I own jobs in Kent, that I know the state of the skills market.
I know, don't you think?
And it's a disaster area.
And isn't that the biggest problem?
Well, yeah, yeah.
You've got
yeah.
no, you can't get round to investing in various technology and advancements if you haven't got the right people sitting around in your office or your business to actually deliver the work.
Absolutely. There are 842,000 unfilled full-time jobs in the UK at the moment. We're on course to create another 660,000 in the next 18 months, and there's no one to do
them. No one to do it. And even locally, we've got the problem with the outlet expansion.
Mm.
There's more jobs than there are unemployed people.
Yeah.
So that's just a local... So productivity becomes the second bit. We've got to get the staff.
Just on that, we also need to understand the ins and outs of unemployment stats, because when the ONS and people like that produce the statistics, people often quote statistics without thinking about the underlying reality of a statistic. Mm. We have 32.5 million people in employment in the UK, which is the highest number we've ever had.
Mm.
Yeah, unemployment is 3.8%, which is one of the lowest we've ever had. But of the 1.4 million people that are unemployed, most of them aren't unemployed. And what I mean by that is that the statistic is a dry statistic, but most of those people aren't the same people that were unemployed last week. It's a moving target.
It's a fluid.
Yeah, because most of them are in transit.
Mm.
Yeah, they've left one job, haven't started another, so they're in the stats for a few weeks, and then they come out. What you've got to look at is the hardcore unemployed, and the number of hardcore unemployed is 600,000 people. So virtually no one. And those 600,000 people have all kinds of reasons why they are quite unemployed. The smallest of those is because they want to be.
Yeah. Yeah,
so there's a group of people that can't get off benefits because they're better off on benefits without beating about the bush. But they tend to be the smallest group. Yeah, other people have medical issues, have addiction issues, have health issues that prevent them getting paid work. Mm. So basically, the unemployed people that we have are predominantly people that have difficulties with accessing work, no matter what. Yeah, so it's a completely different issue. Mm. They're not just swanning around because they haven't got a job, yeah?
Yeah?
We intrinsically don't have anyone to do the jobs.
Exactly.
And that's where we are. But the politicians are still living in the past where everything they do comes with, let's create a job to go with it. So at the moment here in the UK, in Kent, we're just about to start the next tranche of taxpayer-funded business loans. Now, almost every one of them has a precondition attached that you yeah. must hire people to get the loan, but there isn't anyone to hire.
You know, is it a skill shortage?
Yeah, yeah. We have a massive skill shortage. We have a skill shortage in every single area apart from shop-based retail. There isn't any shops, basically. But outside of that, every other area has shortage. The worst is construction.
Construction bum.
37% of all vacant jobs are in construction. And the problems with construction are many-fold, mostly because the construction industry has relied on importing overseas workers to work in construction.
Yeah.
It's also difficult to train construction workers, because most construction projects are site-based. And if you take an apprentice onto a site, you're in big trouble, because all the health and safety rules prevent you letting that apprentice do anything. Okay? So basically, not only have you got a waste of an apprentice, but you have a waste of a tradesperson who has to accompany that apprentice around the site. You also have the fact that the vast majority of the construction industry work as self-employed people, but you've got CEIS cards, IR35 and all the other crap that the government come out with.
We've got more coming. We've got reverse VAT.
You've got reverse VAT about to start soon as well. And you've also got clawback, which has been going on and killing people as well.
Yep.
So that's why no one's employed in construction. It's why, although there's a lot of land banking going on with house construction, a lot of it isn't land banking. It's they just don't have anyone to build the houses. It's as simple as that. And in our field, Kenny, in digital and technology, it's the second biggest area. Digital skill shortages are immense. There's another report from the Federation of Small Business, and I've checked this so many times because this stat I just couldn't get my head around, but they claim it's right. 76% of micro and small businesses have no digital business presence at all. And no Facebook page, they've got no website, they've got no digital interaction as a business. Yeah, I was at a meeting with the Minister for Small Business two Fridays ago, talking about the government are desperate to increase productivity. And that the issue that they see with productivity are smaller micro firms that have not adopted technology to help them run their business.
But then you can also, and I agree that's a ridiculous stat, but also you've got the issue, haven't you, where let's take R&D, for instance. Mm. It's there. It's there to be claimed.
Mm.
You show me the last advert from a government
or
the last government department that checked a tax return and said, instead of checking this box or that box, I think you could be entitled to something here which would really help your productivity. Unless you've got somebody that you've met somewhere, an accountant that understands it, a business consultant, whoever it is, it doesn't matter who it is. But if you haven't got that, who's ever going to tell you?
What was hilarious, at the meeting I was at, there was a guy with a start-up business there, and we were talking about government loans and the various government schemes. And he said, yeah, well, the trouble is they're match-funded. And I went, well, that's easy. And he went, well, I said, you do an R&D tax claim and you get your money back and you use that as your match funding. And he's gone, R&D what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. And he's in a government department. Yeah. I rest my case.
Yeah, exactly. And you just go, okie doke.
Well, they say that over... I love this stat because this just makes me laugh, but they reckon something like 85 to 90% of R&D, for instance, isn't claimed.
Yeah.
How would anybody know whether it's 85 to 90 or whether it's 15%? Because nobody's got a clue.
Yeah.
What there is out there, you know. It's it's a number.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. When I talk to government ministers, which for some bizarre reason I do, I don't know why. I'd much rather poke my eyes out, but
there's always some pins that we stick in them. Yeah.
When one of the things that bothered me a couple of years ago with R&D tax credits was, when are the government going to pull the plug on them? And I was talking to some senior politicians and ministers about this, and they went, well, there's nothing on the horizon to pull the plug out, because for each R&D tax credit we give, I think the figures were they make 8 times as much back as they give away.
Yeah.
Yeah, because people reinvest the money, and therefore
and
tax
grow the business.
And the business grows and tax revenues go up through reinvested business. They said, no, it's a no-brainer for us. As the revenue, we actually make more by giving it away.
Well, I mean, don't want to put you on the spot, Kenny, but how much has it helped you with the R&D bit?
For the last 4 or 5 years.
We've done it with you, haven't we?
Yeah.
And it makes such a difference.
It does, it's huge. It really helps with the corporation tax, et cetera, and reinvesting that for future years. Mm. And going back to the funding you were mentioning as well, we are looking at something called ERA. And that's something that's quite interesting. You can get your vouchers, and that's matched up to 70-80%.
But then again...
But again, the advertising around that, it's not...
No, it's not there.
You have but to really dig to find it.
Without getting into detail, if you do an R&D claim but you've also had certain grants, if you take the grants, the R&D claim won't necessarily be able to stay on the same scheme. Mm. So it might be a worse scheme than the one you're on now. So again, it's back to talking properly to your accountant or us
to
make sure that whatever it is that you're looking at applying for is not going to come back and bite you, you know, on the backside the other way around. So, and none of that's advertising. So here's a load of money, but actually here's another pile I potentially have missed out on.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're all working together, but they're not.
Not, yeah. I was talking to a group of people, public sector people, yesterday about a completely unrelated thing, although it was skills orientated, and they were talking about making pathways for this and that, you know, normal public sector kind of management cliche type stuff. And I'm going, yeah, but you're this is small businesses you're talking to. They're like herding cats. Yeah. They don't go for things like this. You know, your average small business hasn't got time to think about that. You know, your average small business is owned and managed by a doer.
Yeah.
If it's a plumbing business, he's out fixing taps. He's not thinking, sitting there thinking, do you know what? I think I'll go for the fast track pathway for the plumbing skills development program.
I think each plumber should sit down for 3 hours a day and have a strategic conversation with themselves about what they'd like to do next. What do you think? It doesn't happen, does it? It's about making money, making a living, putting food on the table, whatever it's a different set of values. Yeah. And anyone who pretends it's not.
Absolutely.
But the good news is that all the time they've got Brexit to discuss, it saves some muddling back with anything else.
Well, it's the perfect firestorm, isn't it? Because it's now to blame for everything. And apparently England won the Cricket World Cup because of Brexit as well.
Did they?
Yeah.
Of course they did.
It's obvious.
Yeah.
Absolutely obvious.
Absolutely.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
So there you go. Anyway, that was a nice little chat, wasn't it?
I'm loving it. I was just sitting back and letting you all. I'm like, excellent.
I'll tell you what, Bird.
Yes.
Why don't you read your other tweet?
Oh, hello, Bird and Bike and Vanilla. You actually came second on this. Did you mean Fruit Bowl Media?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Business Bunker, shout out, please. We are silver sponsors and exhibiting at Tech Expo UK on the 26th of September. Web design, digital marketing, podcast studio hire, and media training, and that's fruitbowlmedia.com. Great company.
Fantastic. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, fantastic. Brilliant company.
What made them call themselves Fruit Bowl?
We were on a bit of a fruit theme.
Really?
Yeah, Fruit Works, Fruit Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Why Fruit Works then?
I don't know.
Does Fruit Work?
Actually, Fruit Bowl came before Fruit Works, actually. Because we started Fruit Bowl Media, and the office we were in, we decided to let it out as co-working space. And we said, what should we call it? Well, Fruit Works, obviously, because it's where we work, Fruit Bowl.
I think one day he was sitting at his breakfast bar looking at the fruit bowl, yeah. looking for inspiration yeah, as yeah. to what to call his business.
And it was either spoon, we're going to call it spoon media or fruit bowl or porridge media.
I don't know what to say, if I'm really honest. I'm a little bit shocked.
I think you need to work on the story behind
it. I think
it
just, I'm like, is he justifying it? What's he doing?
He's realised he can't.
No, no, that's now become the official story. I couldn't make up my mind whether to call it porridge media, spoon media, or fruit bowl media.
Now that's
and
funny.
I went for fruit bowl. Yeah.
Yeah. Has it worked for you?
Oh yeah.
Was it fruitful?
It was better than prunes, anyway. Do you know what?
Is it that time?
We're going to play some cheesy chutney.
Please tell me it's fruity.
Yeah, no, it's not, actually.
It's cheesy.
Actually, the song is The Power, but of course it's by Snap.
Hey. Oh, that'll do.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
My Careers Options gives real career choices for your child's brighter future. Through simple, fun questions and puzzles, your child will discover careers they can do, want to do, and which suit who they are. My Careers Options unique careers report also supports the school to help your child make informed decisions about their future education and careers choices. 50% off today with code BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk. That's BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2. In association with bizradio.co.uk on Tuesday the 16th of July with me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the lovely Bird on a Bike.
Hello.
Hello. Cool. So I've stopped them ranting now. We can get on with the show now.
Oh. Doesn't matter, does it? Quite like a rant.
They did go on a bit, didn't they?
Well, we like to hear a bit of passion, don't we, in business?
All I did was read an email. Anyway, I've had a tweet from the lovely folks. Where's my glasses holder on my head?
I can't. Yeah, I've been really struggling with looking at you.
I've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Belden PR, and they say, Vanilla Web, Business Bunker, could we have a shout-out today for my client, Retreats For You? Anyone who wants a break in Devon to perhaps write their
dodgy
business
people.
Plan.
Or their, dodgy people.
Or their, yeah, because Bird's a pirate. She's from Devon. Yeah. Mm. You're from Plymouth, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, this is a place in Devon.
Where is it to?
Sorry?
Where is it to?
Where's what to?
Where's the place?
It doesn't say. It just says Devon. Oh. It doesn't say where in Devon. It says I can highly recommend it. I'm working there this week. Oh, right. Okay. And there's a picture of it. It's a lovely cottage. It's a typical kind of West Country cottage. Anyway, you can find out where it is and look at more pictures of it if you go to their website, which is retreatsforyou.co.uk. Check it out. Retreatsforyou.co.uk.
North Devon.
North Devon, is it? Where does it say exactly where in North Devon?
No. Nope.
Okay.
I'm not going to look. Beautiful
is that
North Devon.
And a letter U. Number four and letter U.
No, no. F-O-R. Retreats for F-O-R-U. Sure. Retreatsforyou.co.uk. It looks quite a nice little cottage, doesn't it? I used to have a place not far from North Devon, in Cornwall.
Yeah, and they did amazing sandwiches, crab sandwiches, the best crab sandwiches I've ever had in my life.
Where?
The Pity Me.
In the Pity Me? Yeah, yeah, I used to live opposite the Pity Me.
I know you did.
Yeah. In a place called Rock, Knightsbridge-on-Sea.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Cool. Anyway, what you got? You can do one more and then I'm going to talk to you.
Okay, the King's Summit Business Scale Up Conference. And this is on Thursday the 10th of October, 8 a.m. till 4 p.m. And that's Kent County Cricket Ground. Now, in partnership with Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce and the ICCI and sponsored by Wilkins Kennedy Accountants and HR Go Recruitment, are you looking to scale up your business but are not sure where to start? Would you like to achieve over 20% growth in turnover in less than a year? You need to get yourself to this summit. So this has got the fantastic lineup of speakers, which is Simon Teague. He's an author and director of the New Level Results and the co-founder of the King Summit. You've got Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, Managing Director of Orchard Employment Law. Stuart Goodwin, who is dynamic communication coach and a public speaker. Juliet Bernard-Thompson, and she's a business sales coach. You've got King's James, who's the founder of King's Summit and the pastor of the Favour House Church. And then you've got Ruth Whittaker, who's the CEO of Mission Aviation Fellowship UK. So if you want to go to this summit, you need to go to www.thekingssummit.com. Go buy your early bird tickets.
Fantastic. Thank you. I've had a tweet from Kim Stevens, the lovely Kim Stevens of Care in Kent. And she said, hello, Business Bunker. I would love, with a hearty sign, to donate my Business Bunker shout out to the fabuloso Wendy Boddy, who organised a really brilliant fundraising evening in event in Ham Street last Saturday evening for Air Ambulance Kent, Surrey and Sussex. And she raised a stonking £30,000.
Wow.
Yep. And then it's got hashtag Rocketman Kelly O'Leary Jump Singers. Wow. That's staggering.
That is a huge amount of money for a local event.
Wendy Buddy, we salute you.
Yeah.
Big time. So fantastic. Well done. And thanks, Kim. Thanks for letting us know about that. And what a fantastic effort. Brilliant.
Exactly. Mm. I've just got my usual gift. Thank you very much. Avexio Limited. Hi, Burden of Bike and Vanilla Web. I'm a bit slow with the tweets today. Have a great show. I don't know what animal it is, but it's a white thing.
A little bit. Well, that narrows it down.
It's a white thing. Whatever it is, Amanda, thank you very much, my darling. Yep.
Oh, right. Yeah, I see what you mean.
See what I mean? What is it?
It's a dog, isn't it? It's one of those toy dog things, yeah. Yeah, a cartoon dog. That's what it is.
Who knew?
Mm. Cool. Do you know what? We're going to talk to our first guest.
Well, she's already talking to our audience.
Yeah, she's got her own mic going.
She doesn't need us.
Yeah, she's got her own microphone. Yeah. She's got her own TV studio. She's been doing a little mini show while we've been ranting about nothing in particular. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome, though, onto the Business Bunker show, the lovely Julie Hogbin. Julie, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's lovely to see you. Why don't you start off by telling the listener...
The listener,
yeah. A little bit about Julie. What you do? Tell us a bit about yourself.
Oh, right. Okay. What do I do? So, listening to the birthday celebrations that people were talking about earlier, I'm slightly younger maybe than yourself and slightly older than perhaps the rest of the people in the room.
Easily done, yeah.
So what do I do? For the last 30 years, I have worked with business... with management and leadership in business.
Right.
Teaching people how to get the best out of themselves, their businesses and their staff, employees, linked to the softer skills.
Right.
So leadership, management, you know, treating people well, getting the best.
Mm.
Done that for a very long time. 2011, I had a bit of a midlife crisis, may I say?
I'm on my fourth of those.
Well,
yeah.
I think I've had one.
Yeah, yeah. My first one started with a Harley Davidson. Did you get anywhere near that?
No, fast motorbikes
or anything? No, okay.
No, I had that when I was about 19, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I just sort of jacked my job in and then went, now what shall I do? So, interestingly, listening to the stats you were talking about earlier, I went into the property game.
All right, okay.
Property as a business, went in as a property investor.
Hmm.
Learn what it means because it's a massive, huge business, huge business. And I now utilise strategies dependent on where we are in the market cycle as to what strategy I use to invest in property or, in some respects, earn money out of property.
Okay.
Because there's two different things.
Yeah, sure. So I kind of want to quantify how you're doing this.
Yeah.
So when you invest in property, are you actually buying property or are you investing in investment schemes that are invested in property, if you see what I mean?
No, I personally invest, so I buy.
Right.
And within Kent and North Kent and South East London, you don't buy too many when you haven't got too much money.
Yeah. If you've got anything really less than 10 million quid, you can only afford two in a dog kennel. Yeah.
So I utilise other strategies. So I do equity growth on my own and cash flow on properties that I lease long term off of owners that just don't want to be bothered with them.
Okay. So give us a little bit of an explanation for the listener that doesn't kind of understand that.
So if you're a tired landlord or an accidental landlord is the sort of official title of what it is. So you've inherited a property or you've just ended up with one, you've moved and you've kept one.
My oldest son, for instance, he lived in Canterbury. He's moved to France to work and he's obviously going to let his house out because why wouldn't you? Because he's in France, yeah. So he didn't set out to be a landlord, but yeah.
Yeah, so in a very simple process, what I do is I give a guaranteed rent, a monthly guaranteed rent, and I take over the complete management of the property apart from the roof and the boiler.
Right.
So I do all the repairs, do the maintenance, manage the tenants, and the owner gets guaranteed rent with a really professional, honest landlord doing all the work for them, basically.
You might have noticed I developed a bit of a tic when you said you don't manage the roof.
No.
I'll tell you a quick story.
Yeah, go on.
I own a thing called Fruitworks in Canterbury, which is a community workspace. It's a Victorian warehouse. Three weeks ago, I get a phone call, and it said, Paul, we've got a real trouble at Fruitworks. I said, what's the matter? I said, we've got a leak in the roof.
Oh, no.
And I went, oh, God, is everybody moaning? And they went, no, everybody's laying on the floor. I went, what?
Why?
He said, it's leaking beer. through the roof. Really?
How?
That's not a bad problem to have. Yeah. Sure, what's your problem? I don't see what the problem is.
We've got 120 businesses there, and they're all laying on the floor watching the beer drink through the ceiling. We've got a microbrewery next door, and they brewed a batch, and instead of putting it to the output pipe, they put it to the breather pipe. All the beer went up the breather pipe, landed on our roof, and then it acquired there till it was so heavy it came through the roof. Got beer wow. running down the walls.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Which wow. is probably why you don't look after roofs, isn't
exactly.
it, really?
Yeah, roofs are really expensive, so boilers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's one thing I do. Mm. I've been doing that since 2011, and I'm just recently going back. So Linda Cloak from My Zones sort of introduced me to you as yeah. such. So I thank Linda for that. But one of the things I'm now doing, because of some of the stats you were talking about earlier about, you know, unemployment and people not being able to get jobs and the skills yeah. not being there,
yeah.
I'm going back into my consultancy to support people in earning, if they need a second income or third income,
right.
through multiple different options that people have that I actually only realised the other day, because I know some of them, that people don't know.
Mm.
So I've got a profiling tool, which is going to be as an offer on My Zone, where people can see where their path of least resistance and flow is to earn money, because we all need it.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
You know, no embarrassment in saying that we all need money and we all have to earn it. So I'm going to help people work out, A, what their path is of least resistance to earn money, whether that's in a job or as a second income.
It's interesting. I've kind of had this argument with various people at different times over the last few years about the concept of jobs. Increasingly, more and more of us run our own businesses or are self-employed or whatever. The government hate that with a vengeance. They don't like people being self-employed and running their own business because they can't control them.
Yeah.
But the concept of a job is actually an incredibly, in historical human terms, it's a very recent concept. Before that, we had slavery, which was the same thing without a pay, basically.
You're tithed to a master.
Exactly.
In one way or another.
But interestingly, even way back in the early 70s, Professor Charles Handy wrote a book predicting what he called the portfolio career, which is what we're talking about. It's when you do a number of different jobs for different people. And that could be something as simple as having 3 zero-hour contracts, for instance.
Yeah.
Or it could be like a lot of us that are self-employed or whatever, just do stuff to earn money, and it might not always be consistently the same stuff. We might do a bit here and a bit there.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that at all, because it's about doing different stuff, isn't it? So that's kind of where you're coming from with us, Jim?
Yeah, absolutely. My core belief is that we have to look after ourselves. We have to take control of our own lives.
Yeah.
And when we rely on somebody else, sometimes they let us down.
Yeah.
So I do believe, whether we're in a job or whether we're self-employed, whichever way around you want to do it, we have to be consciously thinking about what we're doing, what our future is, what our pension pot is if we've got one.
Yeah.
I think there's a stat that most people haven't got more than, I think it's 6 weeks' wages in savings in the UK.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's, you think about that when you get to retirement.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's actually really sad.
Yeah.
And I didn't start doing what I'm doing till 2011. And I was probably one of those people back in 2011. Now I've got my pension sorted in properties that are mine.
Sure.
Earn cash flow from another source, and then are going to do something on top of that. And I'm of the mentality, or used to be of the mentality, of actually having a job and working for someone. So to go out and do it on your own, there's a big mindset shift that people actually need help with if that's what they want to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so different.
Yeah, but the reality is, it's not only if you want to go out and work on your own. Life has changed, and the employment market has changed drastically, not least of which because technology is having a major impact on everything we do. You know, everybody's now falling over themselves that the world's going to end because of artificial intelligence and nobody's ever going to have a job. Unfortunately, I started working in IT in 1969. Okay,
it's changed a lot
since then. But the interesting thing is back then there was a program on TV called Tomorrow's World, and they basically predicted nobody would have a job by 1980 because robots would do everything. You know, we'd all be permanently on holiday, yada, yada, yada. That never happens, and it never happens for one single reason that people never factor into any of these things. Each new technology leapfrog produces a whole heap of opportunities to do something else. Yeah. So, you know, when people start to say to me, well, artificial intelligence, you're never going to drive a car anymore. I go, no, but you might get a job as a driverless car, a rehabilitation officer. Yeah. So when it goes wrong out in the street, you have to go and bring it back in some way. Yeah. Or, you know, a brain implant removal specialist. You can't predict what's going to happen. You know, and technology changes things in very short time frames. You know, for me, the 1980s was only yesterday, yeah? But when you think, in 1984, I owned one of the first mobile phones in the UK, yeah? It was a Motorola eTAC 3000. It cost me $3,000, and I could only speak to four other people, yeah? And it was at least that big, Kenny. It was at least that big. And nobody stole it because it wasn't worth having it because you couldn't talk to anyone on it. Yeah, it was purely an affectation. But the fact is, within a very short space of time, mobile phone technology is ubiquitous. And one of my favourite stats is about Africa, where the population of Africa is just shy of 1 billion people. But there are currently 800 million mobile phones in use in Africa. That's how quickly You've gone for societies that don't have electricity and water but have mobile phones, yeah? That is how quickly technology has taken over our lives in the space of 30 years.
But it's not just that. It's the value that they've given the technology.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They value the phones over electricity at night or Wi-Fi. And I've literally just come back and I can't believe what I saw.
Well, in Rwanda, Bert's just come back from Rwanda. In Rwanda, were they using the M-Pesa app, do you know?
Yeah.
M-Pesa is an app that got developed in Uganda by Vodafone Africa. And it was just a way of paying for your telephone credits.
It's currency.
Yeah, but it's become a de facto currency for the whole of East Africa because the government can't interfere with it. Mm. So people now get paid in telephone credits and they're better off than having whatever the shillings or whatever the Ugandan currency was before. And it's the same in Rwanda.
Exactly the same.
Well, money's a made-up thing anyway.
Exactly.
So anything you can trade or barter, then why would it not work?
Yeah. But coming back to, what you do and what you're doing, it is so important because more than ever now, there is no one way of doing anything. No. And even if you think you've got a career, it doesn't last.
No.
The stats are absolutely stunning on this. We've got a work experience guy at the studio here. I'm not sure how old you are. What are you about?
15.
Okay, Generation Z. Yeah?
Yes, definitely.
See, for Generation Z, this is interesting. Generation Z, 61% of Generation Z that are still at school will do a job that hasn't currently been invented yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. They will change careers 17 times. They'll have 17 different employers in 7 different careers during their working life. That's just the rate of change and the scope of change and the fact that you've got to become adaptable to that, because careers for life, even in the public sector, don't exist anymore.
No.
Yeah, they just don't.
No, they don't. Mm. I think there's a whole raft of, with the demographics of the country and older, the pensions going back.
Yeah.
And maybe one day we won't get one, who knows, because we don't know what's going to happen with the government and everything else in the pension pot.
Yeah.
But people have to be able to earn an income longer. And then there's the big gap of the demographic in the middle with the Generation Z coming in, who have very different expectations of employment now than any generation before.
Absolutely.
So unless we're fluid and flexible in how we employ, businesses are going to struggle to employ. Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly as you were saying earlier.
And we have an ageing demographic, as you said. Yeah,
it's huge.
So lots of interesting scope for running a business.
Massive.
Dealing with that. And you're absolutely right. It's about getting people's head around the fact that you've got to be prepared to think differently about what you're doing.
Yeah. Cool. At any age.
Yeah, true. Absolutely. I mean, as you quite rightly said, even for older workers, funnily enough, I've been asked to go and speak for the Department of Work and Pensions to a group of people about working in the older age. And again, there's a misconception that as you get older, then you're not hireable. In fact, nothing could be further from the truth at the moment. Yeah, in fact, most people over 50 are eminently hireable for all kinds of reasons. The one downside to some older workers is that they're not quite as digital savvy as your Generation Z, who have it stitched into their DNA. But that's teachable. But the workforce is an aged workforce, and that's where it is, and that's what we've got to utilise.
Just as a thought on that, about you talking about the digital age, I see people that are younger than me that don't know about it, and I see people that are older than me that don't know about it. But I think it's one thing with all the changes and all the opportunities of what that digital age brings. My belief is we need to be on it. We have to learn.
My mum, bless her, she's 90, okay? My dad passed away 2 years ago, and my dad wouldn't have anything to do with technology. It's all the work of the devil, yeah? When my dad passed away, my mum went, get us a mobile phone. So I got her a mobile phone, and I went and I set it up for her, and I went round a few weeks later, and she said, I bought myself this. Oh, what? And she pulls out an iPad. I go, right, okay, what do you want to do that? She goes, I've got my bank account on it. And she, my mum's a great one for doing mind puzzles, Sudoku and stuff like that. She said, I found this on the App Store and I've downloaded all my Sudoku puzzles. They only charged me £5 for 50. I go, right. And I said, you're going to launch a digital startup? I'm thinking about it.
Well, I got my mum who was... So my mum died in July last year, but up to... And she was 92 and she died. At 91, I had her on Facebook Live. And at 91, she said to me, I wish I'd kept up with these machines. Because she would see her great-grandson on them. You know, all the pictures and everything. It was hilarious.
And that is the real power of technology in terms of what we were talking about, is what we used to call a killer app. Back in the day, when PCs first came out, personal computers or small machines, microcomputers, whatever they call them, there was no take-up. Why would you need a computer? What are you going to do with it? You know, it was just a bit of ego, really. If you worked in IT, you can have your own computer at home, but you couldn't do anything with it until the world's first killer app came out. And the world's first killer app was VisiCalc, which was a spreadsheet. And as soon as that came out, all of a sudden there was a reason for everybody to have a PC. So Apple Ones, Commodore PETs, and all the rest of them that came out at that time all ran VisiCalc. And that was the big killer app. And it's the same with so many things now, isn't it? You know, we talk about technology like phones and tablets and all the rest of it, but the fact that you can Skype your grandchildren in Australia is the biggest reason for using it ever. Cool. And one of the things I like about that is that when people like you, Julie, talk to people about being adaptable, it's those kind of realistic day-to-day uses of that kind of technology that make the difference,
Definitely.
Listen, we could talk about this for a long, long time.
I could talk for hours on this subject.
give us some... I know you've got a couple of websites. You can give us all of them if you want, or just the ones you want. But if people want to find out more about what you do and the kind of things you do, both with property and with helping people adjust to the new paradigm, how can they do that?
Right. You can contact me on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, under my name, Julie Hogbin.
That's H-O-G-B-I-N.
Yes.
Julie Hogbin.
It is indeed. And on Facebook, it's Julie Hogbin 2. Because there are more than one of me.
Really?
Yeah, there are.
You've been cloned?
One in Australia. And I've met her, weirdly. I've got a podcast coming out very soon, which will be called Conscious Leadership. Hashtag that I use is Conscious Leadership across everything. And my websites are in development at the moment. It's clavum.global and juliehogbin.com.
Fantastic. Julie, thank you so much for
that. You're welcome. Thank you.
Pleasure to talk to you. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. We've got more fun and mayhem to go through. We're going to be joining the newsroom shortly, but we've got time if you want Bird to read an email or tweet or two.
Well, I tell you what, you've got a tweet here.
Have I?
Good morning, Paul. Have a great Business Bunker show. I'm in Sussex again, so look forward to catching up with the replay tonight. That's from our biggest fan, Tracy Ferguson.
Oh, Tracy Ferguson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep an eye on Tracy's account as well. She's just about to launch something called Plucky Cards. You might like this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tracy works in the field of talent recognition. of helping people find their inner talents and motivation for work. She does a lot of work with Prince's Trust.
Right.
And she's in the process of developing a kind of, I want to call it a game, she'll probably tell me off. they're called Plucky Cards. And the best thing to do is follow Tracy's Twitter account, because she's been talking about it. Her Twitter account is Tazi64, T-A-Z-I-64. Give her a follow and have a look at her Plucky Cards as well. She's brilliant at what she does, so really brilliant.
And what I love is you can see that she really listens to the show and dissects it.
Yeah.
And then sends us tweets through the night saying, I agree with this, I don't agree with this, da-da-da-da. I just love that. I think I'd like to know what value it's bringing her. Because clearly, Tracy really spends a lot
really
of time with it.
Really engages with it. Yeah, she does. Yeah.
So she must be getting some value from it.
Yeah.
Michael Park says, sorry we missed it today, Paul, but thank you regardless. You are too kind.
Cool. Who was
what
that?
Did you do? Michael Park, surveyors.
Oh, MPSL, the lovely surveying firm over there in Medway City Estate in Rochester.
Did you give them a shout-out?
No, I tagged them in the Would You Like a Shout-Out tweet that I put out this morning. Yeah.
They do, but they missed us.
Oh.
So there's your shout-out, Michael Park, surveyors.
Yeah.
Give us a photo. What's bigger than at the moment? We like your photos of your properties that you send us, right?
Yeah. They're commercial surveyors, so they tend to deal in commercial properties in Medway. Romney Resource Centre have tweeted, hey guys, can we have a Business Bunker shout out please? Hope you're having a great show. Just wanted to share the Romney Resource Centre has lots to offer for people aged 19 plus. If you're looking to gain qualifications, whether that's for work or just wanting to learn something new, they do health and safety certificates, food hygiene certificates, emergency first aid at work, manual handling, control and substance hazardous to health courses, as well as English, maths and IT. Give them a follow on the Twitter, Romney Resource Centre. And it's time for us to join the newsroom.
Let's do it.
Let's go.